Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie Football, Bob Pompiani with you this morning. Joe Starkey with a day off around the Thanksgiving holiday. Pomp with us for half the show, the Mike Tomlin press conference a little bit later than usual, so that will start around 2:30 today, and Pomp, as always, will host that.
You can listen to it here. You can also watch it on KDK Plus, right?
Yes,
for the whole thing. So
yeah, they have it on all the social channels too. If you can't find a way to watch it, then I don't know. I think you're just making excuses because it's all over the place.
So we got a call
yesterday. There's so many different ways to watch it.
This is funny.
Or hear it.
We got a call yesterday from someone who wanted to know, when do the Steelers take on the Browns in Cleveland? Is that this coming? And I said,
yesterday.
What? You mean Pittsburgh? No, the one in Cleveland. When's that coming? I said, what? You mean Pittsburgh? No.
Oh, boy. Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find Steelers reporter Brian Batko.
You need some Batman music here.
Post-Gazette.
Batman.
You guys normally play Batman music
for
you?
No.
Oh, come on.
We need to find some theme music.
I mean, I know the Everybody Loves Raymond intro. That gets played for Ray.
I think Batman's a good one.
Brian, would you like some Batman music? We can make Joe work that into his contract.
You know what, guys? I think when I first got on the Steelers beat, and Mr. Adam Crowley used to have me on his show on a previous stop in his illustrious career, I think he played that. So he kind of beat you guys to the punch, I'm not going to lie.
Now, would you see yourself more as an Adam West Batman, a Michael Keaton Batman, or a Christian Bale Batman? Or maybe even who played him in the last one, Robert Pattinson?
Yes. I didn't like that choice.
Ben Affleck's played him, right?
Yeah, I think Affleck did. How about the one that George Clooney was in back in the 90s?
I didn't know he was in one.
Batman,
you know what?
Batman and Robin.
The...
Oh.
I'm partial to the Christian Bale Batman. I think The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, R.I.P., as the Joker is my favorite superhero movie, and I haven't seen a ton of them, but
that movie
one's awesome. My son loves superheroes, and I don't even know that much about the movies, but that one's a classic.
Well, you're a superhero to your son. That's all that matters.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Batman.
Will the Steelers have a superhero on Sunday, Brian, in Cincinnati?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm worried about, for their sake, I'm worried about Joe Burrow putting on his cape, because it's easy to forget, guys. They didn't face him at all last year. It has been a long time since they faced Joe Cool. They got Jake Browning twice last year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
So, he picked them apart last time he played them in 22. The time before that, they wreaked havoc on him in that season opener. So this has been, I think, a little difficult for me to call this early in the week. The Bengals' defense is terrible, and their offense is explosive. I don't know what to make of the Steelers after that loss Thursday night in Cleveland.
Well, you say the Bengals' defense is horrible. I'm terrible. I'm not of the belief that they're that terrible. I think we all came to that conclusion about Baltimore's run defense when they came here, and they pretty much shut down the Steelers. I think they're still. You know, we saw Malik Hamilton last night just go on a stage and make plays after plays. There are guys there who can. To your point, though, Brian, I think the number one issue is what they do with Joe Burrow, because they didn't see him last year at all. And, you know, he's capable, and I would grant you that he's probably going to score in the 20s against I don't care who they play. So the question would be, can the Steelers keep pace with that?
Yeah, and Ja'Marr Chase leading the NFL in receiving. So, I mean, he's been a problem after a little bit of a slow start, I know, because I have him on my fantasy team. And Chase was running through the Ravens secondary. He made them look worse than they probably are. I think, as you mentioned, Bob, over these last two games, we were all discounting what they were going to do in their pass defense. And the Steelers didn't exactly slice through them. They didn't even score a touchdown in that game. So the Bengals, they are a team with some talented names on defense. Trey Hendrickson leading the league in sacks, and Sam Hubbard is no slouch on the other side, although he only has two this year for some reason. Mike Hilton is still playing at a high level from what I can tell as their slot cornerback, but it seems like their safeties and then the outside corners have been a little bit more of their bugaboo, and that could align well with Russell Wilson and throwing that deep ball for the Steelers. It's been a little boom or bust lately, but the Bengals have been giving up a lot of booms.
Brian, given how Joey Porter Jr. has had a Jekyll and Hyde sort of season, not so great against Terry McLaurin in Washington. He had a really good game. I thought one of his best games against Baltimore, and then not so great against Cleveland. You got to have some concerns with him, I feel, against Cincinnati, given what they have from multiple receiver positions.
Yeah, and he's risen to the occasion in the past to take on Ja'Marr Chase last year. I mean, that game down there in Cincinnati, he was all over him, and it felt like that was the start of a budding rivalry within this division. Because, I know there's some contractual strife, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be in Cincinnati for the long haul. I think they'd be crazy not to. I mean, I'm almost at the point with him and Burrow where I will pay them 98% of the salary cap if I have to, and I'll spread the other 2% around a bunch of random guys and bank on them getting the job done for me more often than not, although the 4-7 record they have at the moment might poke some holes in that. But, yeah, I think Joey is he knows the spotlight's going to be on him in this game. I wonder if, you know, how much the footing was an issue for the defensive players in Cleveland, not to make excuses, but I think it's more difficult for a reactionary position like cornerback than it is for the offensive guys who know where they want to go and can use moves to set you up. So he's got to bounce back in this one and, yeah, try to avoid kind of the up and down ebb and flow that he's been in, but that is sort of the nature of his position.
Brian, one of the things that concerns me about this game is the desperation factor. Anytime you see an NFL team that's kind of backed against the wall, they know this is it. They started horribly at home. They lost some games they should never have, but they almost beat the Chiefs, should have. It was a 26-25 game. They took the Ravens to the wires twice in high-scoring affairs. I think it was 41-38 and 35-34, and they're desperate. Their record really could be better than what it is, even though their defense has given up points. The desperation factor, how dangerous does that make them?
I agree, Bob. And I think sometimes people hand wave that as, oh, no, I mean, it's the NFL. Everybody is motivated. Everybody wants to win. But, I mean, I was watching the Manning cast last night, and, you know, when it went into the fourth quarter, I guess Ravens were up one. Peyton Manning even said to his brother and Mike Vrabel, I think, was on the broadcast, like, okay, let's see who wants it more out of these two teams coached by the Harbaugh brothers. So I think that is a factor sometimes. And for the Bengals, this is the playoffs start now for them. They're kind of like the Steelers last year. I mean, it's starting earlier for them than it did for the Steelers. But, yeah, they basically can't afford another loss at 4-7. Their backs are against the wall. And the interesting thing for them, too, is if they do find a way to hold serve at home against the Steelers, then they can actually go on a nice little run because their schedule lightens up considerably. You know, they've got the Cowboys next in Dallas, but still at Tennessee, but still, and then the Browns at home, and then the Broncos at home. So it's a big game for the Steelers, don't get me wrong, especially with the Ravens winning last night, but this is a humongous season-defining game for the Bengals, and I think that has to worry you if you're a Steeler fan.
Yeah, and I feel like the Bengals, Brian, and you can disagree if you so please, I feel like that's the team that I circle and am saying, please do not let this team make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're friskier than the Dolphins. Both of them are kind of hovering on the outside looking in right now with offenses that can be dynamic but have gone through some issues. I wonder if old Deshaun Elliott's comments the other week lit a fire under the Miami Dolphins. All of a sudden, they're not looking so soft as bleep. That they are getting back into the AFC playoff picture ever so slightly. So I'm with you, Donnie. I do not disagree with you. You know, I feel like I've been saying that about the Bengals for weeks, and they keep losing games somehow. So at some point, you are what your record is. But, yeah, we all know that they've got the horses. It looks like T. Higgins is getting healthier. And if it's not like they've got a new defensive coordinator like the Ravens. I mean, Lou Anarumo has been there. He's been one of the best defensive play callers in the league at times over the last several years. So it is mystifying that they've been giving up points at this rate, and maybe the bye week will give them a chance to reset some things, figure it out. You know, the Steelers have a little bit less rest, but they shouldn't be quite as banged up, you know, with the mini bye coming off of Cleveland. So it's the stage is set for another big time 1 p.m. AFC North clash,
which you can watch live on KDKA-TV with pre- and post-game shows. have to get shameless plugs in when I can. Anyway, we've had
You guys were plugging the Mike Tomlin presser, Bob. Don't you wish they still showed the questioners' faces? Wouldn't that make for a good show?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing because they went to do that in the last couple of years of it before it switched the way that it's been handled. But yeah, I agree with that. You want more airtime, Brian. You're not getting enough. I had you on the show now.
Yeah, we need Batman face
out there.
See what Batman's done now. He doesn't need Robin. He's going solo these days. I want to ask you about Justin Fields. We had a, to use your word, frisky conversation here about how he should be used. So we saw it in Cleveland much more so than we had seen it at any point of the season with Russell Wilson as the starter. So what is your perfect mix of using Justin Fields?
I think the needle I would want to thread with that is, you know, you still have to have a feel for the game as a play caller if you're Arthur Smith. So it's difficult to kind of sit there going into it and say, all right, we're going to use him on this down and distance, or we're going to use him at this point, you know, on the third possession or the fourth possession. Like, you've got to kind of take what the defense is giving you, and you've got to get a read on how they're playing you, what's working and what isn't. But I am pretty much ready to scrap the portion of the Steelers playbook that's got Cordarrelle Patterson as your lone wide receiver, Spencer Anderson as a tackle eligible, Mycole Pruitt, Darnell Washington, and Connor Hayward as the other pass catchers in that mix. I mean, I get what Arthur Smith was trying to do. He was trying to get his best blockers out there, but that personnel grouping is, to me, you're actually taking away from the wild card that Fields gives you because, you know, if you don't have a threat downfield like George Pickens was on that fateful third down, and I still think Pickens maybe could have tracked that ball or read that pass better and made a play on it, then I just think you are kind of you're licking the outside of the watermelon with your Fields usage if you do that.
Well, Brian, don't forget about the two-point attempt on Thursday where it was thrown up to Cordero Patterson on an island. What was the thinking there?
Don't even get me started on that, Donnie. I asked Russell Wilson about that after the game.
Yeah, and he said, oh, we almost had it.
Yeah, he mentioned that Cordero's a Hall of Fame player, which, I mean, yeah, but not for his receiving prowess. Like, yes, if he makes there, it makes it to Canton someday, it'd be because of being the best kick returner in NFL history, not for catching 50-50 balls in the end zone. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that was kind of a take-'em-by-surprise type of deal. But, man, I could probably list 10 Steelers I'd rather throw a corner fade to in that spot than 33-year-old Cordero Patterson. And I might even put Justin Fields, Broderick Jones, or T.J. Watt on that list. Adam.
I don't think I would argue if you did.
I mean, T.J. could be the J.J. caught a touchdown or two in his day. So imagine if T.J. Watt would have gotten to catch a two-point conversion pass on a night that he otherwise didn't get any pressure, didn't get a sack, and then he could have ran right up and stuck the ball in Myles Garrett's chest. That would have been great theater.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I want to ask you about the running game as it's emerging now. We saw the three-game stretch there, Brian, where I think Najee Harris had made people think, okay, they need to pick up they didn't pick up his option. They need to sign him beyond this year. Then everything's kind of gone the other way a little bit. Where do you think they are with Najee Harris in terms of future planning?
I don't think it's going to happen again next year. I really don't. Even when he was on that streak of three consecutive 100-yard games, I still was not. I know our Joe, who's not with us, who we miss so dearly, was really on the train of bring back Najee. But I was never there because what we were seeing from him, while it was impressive and while it was helping them engineer victory, it wasn't really much different than previous year's Najee. He was his usual self, but he was doing it better. He was doing it more consistently, and he's probably getting a little bit more room to run from his offensive line at that time. It's not like he all of a sudden became a guy who was ripping off 40, 45, 50 yarders. That's never been his game. That club is still not really in his bag. I'm not sure it ever will be. So I think the Steelers knew what they had in him when they made that option decision. And I think they were happy that he was running hard during that stretch, but I don't think it changed their mind on ultimately what the long-term future is for him here. And I think maybe he too wouldn't mind a fresh start. The team that I mentioned in my chat the other day when someone asked was the Las Vegas Raiders. We all know Marshawn Lynch was his mentor, another Oakland guy. You know, they still have the same agent and stuff like that. They'll be in a position, I think, to draft a rookie and probably pay a running back. So I think that would be pretty cool if Najee ends up in Vegas next year. I just don't see him back here, guys.
Talking to Steelers reporter Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette at the 50-minute mark on The Fan, which is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Brian, we mentioned and joked about T.J. Watt catching touchdown passes a few moments ago, and you brought up how he really didn't get any pressure on Jameis Winston. He really never got close to anything in that game on Thursday night. Not to throw all of the blame on him, but will we start to see maybe more creativity in Steelers blitz packages going forward? Because I felt like they used them so sparingly on Thursday night, but in the few instances they did, it worked. So why go away from that when you have the opportunity?
Yeah, I think we'll see it more as the season progresses. I looked this up yesterday also for my chat because someone asked it. You know, the Pro Football Reference advanced stats on blitzes goes back to 2018, I think. And if the season ended today, it'd be their lowest. It'd be their first time under 25. I think they're right around 24%. So we know coming into this year that they were pretty confident in their ability to get pressure with only four, especially when those four are T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith and or Nick Herbig, Cam Hayward, and Keanu Benton or Larry Ogunjobi. I mean, I get it. Those guys can win a lot of one-on-one matchups and allow you to drop more in coverage. But, yeah, I mean, right now it's not working for them. And, you know, what you put on tape is one thing. It might be time to get a little bit more exotic. And with TJ specifically, you know, it's easy to say if it's not broke, don't fix it. And it's never really been broke for TJ as long as he's been in the league. And I'm still not necessarily ready to say that it is right now. But why not flip him to the opposite side a little bit more? Why not try some more interior rushes like Myles Garrett got for his third sack? I mean, if TJ's game for it, which I assume he would be, I mean, you go back to that Giants game, they did it once or twice there. And I think it had a big impact on that final strip sack because, yes, while it came from TJ's usual side, they were supposed to get a guy over there, a tight end, to chip him. And Daniel Jones, I guess, was scanning pre-snap for where number 90 was and had a brain fart or something and didn't put his guy in motion. And boom, next thing you know, the Giants' right tackle, Jermaine Illuminor, who was talking a big game all week, got cooked by TJ, and that was the ball game. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are sort of hidden advantages to that too, and maybe it's time to tinker a little bit more with that.
Well, Brian, all I know is that this is going to be an interesting week. They all are with regard to the AFC North. But, again, I'm looking for Cincinnati to have a response here, and I think when you look at the playoff picture, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that the seven teams that are in position right now are probably the most likely to get to the playoffs, you know, seeding whatever it may be. There are, for me, in the next group, Miami and Cincinnati are intriguing. If they should sneak in, of these two, which do you think has a more likely chance of sneaking in as a wild card team?
I think the Bengals, because of that schedule that I rattled off earlier. I mean, if this is all predicated on them finding a way to beat the Steelers Sunday down there at the Paycor Stadium. If they do that, they'll play some teams that are thinking more about Turks and Caicos than the rest of the NFL season right now. And then they'll get a chance at the end of the season to play the Steelers again in Pittsburgh. And, you know, they would have confidence for beating them once to some extent. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Bengals still have a chance to rise up and make something out of what looked to be a lost season. And if they do that, hey, they've got the quarterback to get it done. They can be dangerous if they make the postseason because of that guy under center. I don't know how many quarterbacks in the league right now are capable of hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, but I do believe he's one of them, even though he hasn't done it yet.
Brian, Diana Russini from The Athletic, this is something that Bob and I will get into in a little bit. She talked about Russell Wilson and the probability of him signing back in Pittsburgh. What is that probability on your scale, and what would be a price and term length that you would be comfortable with?
Oh, man, I just think a lot of this is so premature. I mean, I know this is what we do. I know people want to look ahead to the offseason, especially at the quarterback position. But it's been five games until Thursday night. He hadn't lost a game as the Steelers quarterback. I need to see more out of him to really ballpark either the odds or the type of deal that we'd be looking at. I mean, hey, I guess if he goes 4-1 again down the stretch here, and that would give you a lot of confidence in terms of his play. So, yeah, I mean, I could see it. I could certainly see it. Justin Fields is lingering in there as well. I think they really legitimately did like what they saw from him in the first six games. Not enough to deviate from their original plan, obviously, but it's a little bit different calculus when you hit the reset button and have an off season to work more with him as your potential starter. So I'll humor you, Donnie, and I'll say, I don't know, let's go with 60% Russell Wilson returns. And I do think that at this stage of his career, he wouldn't necessarily hold them over a barrel to try to get every penny. I think he would take a little bit less if this offense and this team is getting more out of him than we saw in Denver. So, I don't know, what about 3 years, $75 million or something like that?
Would he take that? Would he take that?
Because he is getting up there.
Do you think he'd take that?
I don't know. I mean, it would depend on how much he's, trying to extract every dollar and penny from the rest of his NFL career. Or, well, you know, when I hear him talk a lot, and it could just be pontificating, and it could just be kind of the cliche machine running rampant, but sounds like he's somebody who thinks a lot about his legacy. And I think he's also a guy who's right there in the Hall of Fame conversation, but I don't know if they're asking for his gold jacket measurements just yet. So why not stay somewhere where you feel like you're in a good position to keep putting up numbers, keep winning important games, and strengthening that resume and all of that over going somewhere to be a bridge quarterback again, or you're not sure how you're going to fit in their offense or with their head coach. So that's the only reason why I'm just kind of spitballing a lower number than probably the market value would suggest for a starting quarterback.
We'll dive a little bit more into that next, Bob. I think we'll have some fun with the idea of the Steelers re-signing Russell Wilson. Brian Batko, Steelers scribe from the Post-Gazette. Brian, as Chris Berman would say, let me be the first to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. What is the ideal Thanksgiving plate for Brian Batko?
Turkey with some gravy. I like to mix up the mashed potatoes and corn to get that. To me, is a dangerous 1-2 punch.
Oh,
and then
right.
Some of those sweet rolls. Yeah, some of those sweet rolls on the side. I don't need a whole lot of frills. Maybe add some green beans just so I can pretend I'm eating a little bit healthy.
You just created your own frill by putting the two together.
You didn't.
Come on now. Corn is corn.
I didn't
it
hear
should
stuffing
not be shared.
There.
Huh?
I didn't hear him say stuffing there. No stuffing.
Oh. Yeah, I'll throw some stuffing. Throw some stuffing with some gravy on there. I can't believe you guys don't mix mashed potatoes and corn.
No,
I'll do if it just so happens to happen. I'll do it.
Well, if there's a runover, in other words, you have a lot in your plate.
Yeah,
my grandmother always just said it ends
overlap.
Up in the same place anyway. So what's the difference? But I didn't agree with that. I like to enjoy them separately for what they are. Corn is corn.
Yeah, that was a very condescending no from you, Bob. try it. Just humor me. Try it on Thursday.
I
gave you guys some Russell Wilson, numbers out of thin air. So the least you can do for me,
try
up your corn and mashed
next time I talk to you, I'll let you know. Okay, I'm going to do that.
Thank you, Brian.
Have a nice Thanksgiving, Brian.
All right. See you, boys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You know what I don't like combining together? I was telling Charlie this last night. I like these things individually. I don't like them combined. I don't like when people mix a lot of stuff with chocolate. Chocolate and peanut butter is fine. Like, I think it's similar enough. I don't like mint chocolate.
Oh, I do.
I don't like anything chocolate with nuts.
I do.
No, thanks. I mean, I'll do like the chocolate-covered pretzels. I think those are great. But like the easiest way to ruin a brownie, when you put nuts in them. No, thanks. I just want a brownie. I just want all chocolate.
There. I agree with that.
I don't want anything else in
Do
there.
Do you like, let me give you a choice here.
But I like peanuts. I like
regular chocolate, dark chocolate, or white chocolate?
Milk chocolate.
Milk.
I go milk chocolate, white chocolate, then dark. I think that's
dark's very good
there.
For you, you know.
Well, see, I know that. My pap used to always just do dark chocolate. He lived to be like 90 years old, so maybe I should do that. Start to do that now, get ahead of myself.
That the key to life, Donnie? You passing
be.
Off the industry secrets?
He would go with dark chocolate and some wine.
Well,
I know
there you
that,
go.
I know that's up your alley.
Wine is good for you. It's good for the soul. It's good for every part of you. It keeps you. I'm serious. I believe what my doctors tell me about this stuff, so that's also my excuse to drink it.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.